lectures on the theme, Inculcate God's Word in Little Hearts.
Congratulations, you're going to be a father. Congratulations, you're going to be a mother. Now, for most folks, those words bring great joy. And sometimes these prospective parents will be wondering, well, I wonder what he'll look like. Will he have my eyes or my wife's eyes? What's his personality going to be like? All sorts of things run through the minds of prospective parents. And there's an interesting fact that you may or may not know. 20 days from conception, that little heart starts to beat all on its own inside mom's womb. See? So there's so many reasons that children are a rich reward. And the heart of your children, and if you're a parent, you think about this now, that little heart that started beating 20 days after conception, that heart can actually beat forever if you do what Jehovah commands in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So take your Bible, don't say, I remember that, and unless you have some sort of infirmity, it's nice to look at the Bible itself. Sometimes you see some sitting there, they got a Bible next to them. I don't get it. They're awake, but are they really? It's just very wise. Follow along as we read it. It has a good impression. So just something to think about. I'm not going to stare at you if you refuse to cooperate. That's between you and the Almighty. So Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Listen, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah. And you must love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your vital force. And these words that I'm commanding you today must prove to be on your heart. And you must inculcate them in your son and speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So, this talk is going to take these verse by verse, the three of them. The first one, we're going to focus on the need to love Jehovah God with your whole heart as a parent, and all your soul, and all your vital force. The second, we'll reread the verse there, it must prove to be on the parent's heart by means of personal study and meditation. Serious responsibility being a parent. And third, parents must inculcate God's word into the heart even of their infants. See. So let's begin with this analysis. Let's reread verse 5. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. And you must love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your vital force. The word is must. This is not a suggestion. Jehovah says this is what a parent must do if they're going to be successful. Now, one father that raised two children who've been serving Jehovah full-time for nearly two decades said this. Quoting him, a parent's good example is essential to give a child the best opportunity to grow to love and serve Jehovah. Now that's a successful father sharing that with you. Well, you wonder, well, how can your children see your love for Jehovah? It's a good question. One of the ways is regarding your prayers. See, if your children could basically tell you the little outline of what your prayer is going to be every time you bow your head, that's a shame. That is sad for those children. Because your prayers reveal to anybody that's listening what's in your heart. And if it's an insincere, perfunctory sort of thing, what do you expect? Now, we're going to help you appreciate how your sincere prayers and your children or child listening to them can have a profound impact on them. And it's going to be a nice experience, true experience, that I think you'll find touches your heart deeply. True experience here. Jose is our brother's name. Well, he rejoiced when he found the truth. But his wife and six children were unhappy about his leaving the Catholic faith. Some can relate to that here in Ireland. For 20 years, Jose remained faithful to Jehovah. Still, none of his family accepted the truth. 20 years. Now, notice this. Jose always prayed at mealtimes and mentioned his family to Jehovah. When they traveled, got sick, or faced any problem, he would pray for them. Now, this was a witness to his wife, children, and grandchildren. After 20 faithful years and countless prayers for his family, Jose became seriously ill and died. His wife, children, and grandchildren gathered at his home after the funeral. Jose's granddaughter said this, "Now that grandfather is not here, who's going to pray for us?" Well, the whole family broke down in tears. How they missed Jose and his prayers in their behalf. Well, the eldest son offered to pray for the family. Weeping, he begged Jehovah to forgive them for not listening to their father while he was yet alive. In his prayer, the son said that he was determined to serve Jehovah and try to follow the example of his father. He kept that promise. And at last count, 20 members of Jose's family are serving Jehovah. Can you imagine how elated Jose is going to be when he's resurrected and all of his family are there? His heartfelt prayers have been answered. So parents, the lesson is this: never underestimate the power of your heartfelt prayer. When parents speak to Jehovah and pray to him in this sort of way, God becomes real to your child or your children. A lot to think about there, don't you agree? Now, when Jesus referred to the verse we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he added something. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. And this is another way that children can see in their parents that they really love Jehovah. And they have to see it. They have to have proof of it. And Jesus gave us a little different aspect. The program yesterday helped us appreciate it's not just one simple definition for the figurative heart. A great deal is involved, depending on the context of the use of the word, whether in Hebrew or Greek. But here in Matthew chapter 22, let's read what Jesus is quoted as saying here in verse 37. "You must love Jehovah your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind." Now that's a nice aspect. Parents have to worship Jehovah and show their children that all of their intellectual faculties are involved here. And one thing about children, they can so easily detect a bad example. Just like that. When they can observe whether or not you're interested in what you're doing. You can't fake them. So here's some questions, parents, and this is to try to help you. We don't want to try to induce guilt to you, but if you're not living up to this, Jehovah's giving you counsel. You need to make some changes. So ask yourselves, when I am at meetings or studying the Bible with my children, is my mind truly on what we are doing? You can't fake that with a child. See, they've seen and you can't wait to get this over with and go look at the football game on TV. They'll see through that hypocrisy just like that. Do we regularly miss meetings? If so, why? Here's a thought-provoking question. When I'm in the ministry, are my efforts and motives exemplary? Are my children with me when I make return visits or conduct Bible studies? Now, granted, taking little ones in the ministry is hard work. No doubt about it. Carrying them or pushing them in the stroller from house to house, it involves a lot of planning and diligent effort. And I vividly remember, as my wife and I raised two sons, we pioneered together for a few years before we had our first son. When you went out in the ministry, I got ready, she got ready, grabbed her bags, got in the car, and off we went. But I vividly remember the first day taking our firstborn son, little over 8 pounds. I couldn't believe all this stuff I'm taking, getting in on the trunk, this, the, it just was mind-boggling. So we understand, and God understands, it takes a lot of effort. But your example in serving Jehovah with all your heart is worth the effort. Every effort you put into it, you're going to rejoice when your little one chooses Jehovah's path for his life. It's worth the effort. Don't stop doing it. Now, let's move back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and read the next verse here and some food for thought for us here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 6. Give you a chance to get there. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words that I'm commanding you today must prove to be on your heart. Must. Again, Jehovah's emphasizing it's a must. So parents must have Jehovah's word on their heart. They have to know how God thinks. If you're going to reach your little one's heart, you have to personally know how Jehovah thinks. And it only comes from study and meditation on your part. You have to have God's thinking. In fact, notice how Paul phrases it in Ephesians chapter 6. And you'll see why this is such a must. And let's read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And I hear most of the pages have stopped turning. Let's read verse 4, Ephesians 6. And you fathers, do not be irritating your children, but go on bringing them up in the discipline and mental regulating of Jehovah. So the idea, we get Jehovah's mind in our mind, then we get it into the mind of our child. And again, you'll notice the connection here, and Paul recognized this, he's inspired, these are God's words, even though Paul wrote it. Children can be very irritated. And sometimes it's because of the parent or parents' poor example. And then they wonder why they don't want the truth when they get older. They're just tired of being irritated. Sad. It's a very sad consequence of not having Jehovah's mind in our mind and getting that crystal clear. So just as a parent that has to work secularly, and often now both parents have to share in that, well, when they're on the job, they'll take these extra classes or courses or whatever to keep abreast of whatever is happening in that type of field that they work in, because they want to be able to keep their job. Well, there's no more important job, other than the preaching work connected for you, than making sure your children have God's Word inculcated in them. It doesn't matter. You provide all these material things, but if their little heart that started beating at 20 days after conception doesn't serve Jehovah, it will not beat forever. No matter what you bought for them. So putting these things into practice proves whether a parent has God's Word in their heart. What really matters, your children know. What really excites you, your children know. So wise parents, they're not going to be content to rely on experience or custom either. And it's nice we can have different culture. We enjoyed that with the Irish jig, which we thoroughly enjoyed, and those adorable little girls with their jig there. And then the one that did it all alone, those that have done the gathering together. Well, culture has its place in these customs, and those were wholesome and nice. But see, some cultures would have you think that, well, teaching about the Bible and doing that's the woman's job. The women do that. I would amend to listen. Anytime culture or custom conflicts with Bible principles, they have to go to the wayside. Bible principles govern us. So we don't slap people in different parts of the earth. They have their culture, and that's fine. But if it conflicts with Bible principles, it has to go. So when God says that a man is supposed to teach his children, and mom, if she's a single parent, carries that, he means that, and he's not taking culture as an excuse for not doing it. Unacceptable, because it conflicts with his Bible principles. And something for you parents to think about, I know I thought about it with my sons, because you don't always know, they're their own personality. They can be very close in months between when one was born and then the other one following, but they're unique. Everybody is so different. And parents have to be careful that they don't, you want to shape them to think like Jehovah, but it doesn't have to be that they have to be exactly like you. So a father particularly might have to be careful. Let's say you like football. You know, the soccer sort of football for Americans. And your son is not inclined to want to play. Are you going to show some self-sacrifice? He says, Dad, I would rather learn how to play the piano. What? You want to go in and play the piano instead of play football? What happened? Ah, boy. See, how about sacrificing a personal preference? If that's what he wants to do, why don't you learn how to play a little bit yourself with him? Or maybe he'd be interested in looking at the stars with you. You need that time together. You cannot force that sort of thing. Far cry from teaching them Jehovah's thinking and principles. He doesn't do that to us. Why would we do it to our children? Try to get them shaped as if they're a clone of us. So, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6.